Who's ever been on a camp? Who's ever been on a youth camp, something, or an old people's camp? Just so that I'm not being prejudiced. Very good. So I remember waking up on a camp when I was about 14, and I was sleeping on the top bunk of the room, and the walls were all white. And I went to sleep that night, as you do. And as I woke up, I was awoken with my head jammed in the corner of this white wall scenario. And all I could hear was a voice that said, "Good morning and welcome." And I thought, am I hearing the voice of God? Have I died and gone to heaven? It's all white and I'm hearing a beautiful voice. Have I gone to heaven? Maybe you've had an opportunity where you thought, is that the voice of God? Does God speak to me? Does God speak to us at the moment? Does His Holy Spirit speak to me? Sure, certainly later in life, I've had some opportunity to hear and be impressioned on me what the voice of God has sounded like. I can remember when I was seeking God whether I would go into Bible college, into ministry, and it was something that had been suggested to me and something that I thought was the silliest idea in the world, and I wouldn't do it. So I decided to pray and fast for a year just out of kindness to the person who suggested it, and so that I could definitely say no. And so as we prayed and fasted through the year, I got to a camp in the October, in a moment of coming forward for some ministry and being overwhelmed by the Spirit, I believe I had an impression from the Lord in my voice saying, "I want you to go to college to become a pastor." And so my life changed direction from that point. I went a different space to where I would have been ministering in the area of massage before that. So I changed careers and directions and went towards college. And so I've had experience in hearing the voice of God in that space. I don't know what your experience of hearing or understanding the voice of God, but sometimes we ask, do we still hear the voice of God? So if you've got your Bible, I want to turn to the Old Testament. We're going to read something from the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 13, it's the story of Elijah, and it says this, and I'll just read, and you can listen along or turn, but it says, "And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.'" So it's a bad day for him, and he's hiding from the people who are trying to attack him. "And then the Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by.'" So the Lord's about to say something to you. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they want to trying to kill me too.' The Lord said to him, 'Go back to the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you go there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet.'" God came in a quiet, still voice and spoke to him. Elijah's waiting there. Is it going to be in the loud noise? Is it going to be in the billboard? Is it going to be written in the sky? Is it going to be? No, it's going to be in the still, quiet voice, in the stillness of your heart. I'm going to speak to you. And in that moment, God speaks to Elijah and he gets a plan for what he is to do next. That's in the Old Testament, but we know that the Holy Spirit is with us now. We know that the Holy Spirit has been there from the beginning. In the beginning, when God created the earth, the Holy Spirit was there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there. We then know from last week, and what a great message that was last week on the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And if you haven't weren't here last week, I'd encourage you to go to the website and listen to Kim's message, just fantastic teaching on the Holy Spirit. But we know that at Pentecost that God sent His Holy Spirit to dwell amongst His people. See, God came amongst through the channel of Jesus Christ. It came as bodily form, incarnate God amongst us, to die for our sins, that we might be forgiven. And then if you're a fan of rock and wrestling, you need to kind of have the two in the ring. So He went back up and high-fived and tagged with the Holy Spirit, who's now come down into earth. And the Holy Spirit is God in this earth today, in moving amongst us. And the Holy Spirit dwells everywhere. It's omnipresent. The scriptures remind us that he is everywhere at once, but also he is in the lives and the hearts of those who call on the name of Jesus. Those who believe, the Holy Spirit indwells them as well as being omnipresent everywhere. And so we live in this time where God is very present in this earth, very present in this room with us, actually, very present with you when you go to your workspace, very present on your sporting field, very present wherever you go. He's there by his omnipresence, and he wants to speak to you and to me. He wants to have community with us. God didn't come by his Holy Spirit that he would just be walking around saying, "Ah, oh, tut, 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 not good today." No, he came to commune and to do life with us. The scripture says that he comes to give power, to give counsel, to give guidance, to teach, to convict, and to give us gifts that we might use for the edifying of the body. The Holy Spirit is with us to commune with us. And so today we want to talk about, what is it to hear the voice of God? What is it to follow the voice of God? Last week we talked through that the Holy Spirit is here with us. Today we want to talk about, how do we hear the Holy Spirit? And so some of the ways in which God speaks with us are through circumstance. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us because of the situations that are unfolding around us, and we go, that must be God. Has anyone ever said that? Things unfolded in such a way that it must be God. I remember when I was working at Foodland, and I was thinking through, should I go and work down at a church in Mandurah? And they had asked me for the last 7 months whether I would come pastor at their church. And I had said, no, there's no way I'm doing that, because I was dating my then girlfriend. She was very established at her church. I was very established at my church. We knew that if we had to get married, that if we were going to go, we'd probably get married and go. And we just weren't sure how that was going to work out. And so I'd been saying, no. I was in the back of the Foodland. I'm cutting pumpkin, just about to put it in the plastic wrap. And as I'm doing that, I just get an impression from God, it's time to go. So I think, oh, that's interesting. I get home. I've not just walked through the door, and this is in the days when you had cords on your phone, young people. So I went, and I heard the phone ring, 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 ring. That's kind of how it went. And I picked it up, and it was the minister from Mandurah, trying for the fourth time, but I hadn't heard from him for about 4 months, saying, would you just think about it one more time? And I went, circumstance. I've just decided to go, and now he's ringing me. It's kind of circumstantial. Circumstances are not always the way to hear God's voice. Sometimes things happen and you shouldn't follow them. You might think, I wonder who's a nice lady to start a romance with, and you're out in the front garden, and circumstantially the married lady from next door walks past. That is not the voice of God. So circumstances are good for hearing God's guidance, but they're not always to be followed. Sometimes we have an impression, a sense, or a gut feel, or like a picture in your head. We get an impression of God speaking to us. Again, I was on a train to Melbourne, from Adelaide to Melbourne. I'd got on another train, and I'm riding on the train, and I'm saying, God, who would be a good girl for me? That kind of took over a lot of my prayer life at that time. Who would be a good girl for me to pursue? Wow. Pursue. Who would be a good girl to pursue? God rebuked me straight away when I said the first one. He said, to pursue. I fell asleep, and in my dream, there was a picture of Alyssa came into my mind. And 5 years later, after chasing her, I married her. It was a lot of chasing. Thanks, Brad. But impressions aren't always the way to hear God. I've got to understand that an impression has to come through the lens of me. I'm fallible. I have biases. I have preferences. And so I can have an impression, but the way I interpret that impression sometimes can be slightly off. And then there's also scripture. And verses come to mind. Sometimes we're reading a scripture and it pops out at us. Sometimes where something's happening and we're asking God and a scripture comes to mind. Sometimes a verse or a chapter comes into our mind. I remember coming home from a mission trip and feeling the need to pray for my girlfriend's wife at the time. My girlfriend's sister. This is going pear-shaped already. My girlfriend's sister, who was not in good shape at the time. And I was just doing it because I felt like that's the right thing to do. And as I prayed, God put into my mind Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, and I flicked to it. It said, these people pray with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. And I thought, God, it was a conviction. I was just praying because, you know, I thought that was the right thing I should do and just get into it. And God's saying, now is your heart in this? But sometimes when we think we've had a scripture, it also isn't God speaking. So sometimes we're in a situation at work and things are going wrong and we think, it seems like everyone in the workplace is against us. And we think, God, what should I do about these cretins at work? And we flick to a scripture and it says, and there he pursued them across the land, slaying them as he went. Must be God. Fair enough. I'll do that. But scripture is God-breathed and it's the word of God, but it's also written into a context and it has to be taken in the context of what it's being written into. So these three things, circumstance, impression, scripture, they're all ways that God speaks to us and they're all there for guidance and direction. But they're not the totality of God's voice to us. They're not the fullness of God. Sometimes when they start to line up, we go, that definitely is God. I've got some lining up of impression and scripture and circumstances. Dallas Willard calls them the three lights, and they're good for guidance. When they start to line up, we get a better picture of what God is saying, but they're not the totality of God's voice, and they're actually trumped by God's still voice straight to your heart. See, when you get God's voice, his still voice, not always audible, but to your heart, it comes with a weight, comes with a confidence, and it comes with content. And when you feel it, and when you understand it, it's like, I'm going to hold on to that. That was a word from the Lord. In Samuel chapter 3, Samuel hears an audible voice of God, and sometimes it's an audible voice of God, but he doesn't recognize it. And he goes out to Eli, and he says, Eli, did you call me? And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. He goes back to bed, he hears the voice again. He says, Eli, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. A third time, I think Samuel's thinking, gee, Eli, this is a joke. And Eli says, no, it's the voice of God. Go back and say, this is your servant and I'm here and I'm listening. And he goes back and God speaks to him. Sometimes we hear the audible voice of God. It's not the usual way that people hear it. Sometimes if you're new to faith, you think everyone here hears the voice of God audibly. No, most people here don't hear the voice of God audibly. Very few people hear the voice of God audibly. And if you have, it's a real blessing and a real gift. But not everyone hears the voice of God audibly, but he does speak. More often than not, it's like Elijah. It's in the still, quiet voice. Peter Briscoe says it's the silent yes or the silent no. More often than not, that's the way we hear God's voice. Sometimes it's in direction. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul, where Paul was going to go into Asia, but it says the Holy Spirit stopped him going. It doesn't really tell us how the Holy Spirit did that. Whether there was a boom gate or whether there was someone saying, don't, we don't know. But there was a direction. We see through the scripture, through the New Testament, the Holy Spirit speaking into our space. And God wants to speak to you and to me. See, God is a God of relationship. He sent his son Jesus to die that you and me might have relationship with him. When someone wants to have relationship with you, they want to communicate with you. They want to talk with you. They want to hear you talk back. They want to share with you. That's what relationship is about. It's the core tenet of relationship, is communicating with each other. And so as we read the scripture, we know that the Holy Spirit is here with us. He's omnipresent. He dwells amongst the believer, but he actually also wants to speak to you. And in a moment, we're going to talk about hearing the voice of God in terms of guidance, but he just wants to talk to you always. God wants to talk to you far more than you want to listen to him. He just wants to chat with you. And we can practice hearing the voice of God all the time. And it doesn't have to be something weird and highfalutin. During COVID, we would go along for beach walks, and my wife, who is far better in this space than I am, she would get us to stop at a little alcovey sort of thing along the beach there between Trigg and Hillary's. And she would say, okay, we're just going to listen to what God, the Holy Spirit's going to say to us. And she would just pray a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, what would you like to say to us today? And so there the five of us would all be waiting. And you know, because I'm like the real bold one in the family, I was like, well, what are people thinking about us? We're just standing here. Well, maybe I don't know what they're thinking. But we stopped and we listened. And then she would say, okay, what did the Holy Spirit say? And one by one, my kids would say things like, I felt him say that his love for me is as vast as the ocean. Wow. That's pretty cool. That lines up with scripture. It's an encouraging word. God's creativity is vast. Wow. Someone else said, felt like God just said, I love you. Wow, that's pretty good. That's fantastic. You know, when you're learning to hear God speak to you, sometimes we get caught up in, is that what he really said? Did he say that? Can I tell you, if you get a word that God's love is as vast as the ocean, it kind of says that in the Bible. God wants to encourage you. It's in his realm. You know, when you're speaking to God and you're saying, God, would you speak to me? And you feel like you have an impression. You feel like you have a word. The next thing you can do is get some accountability. What's accountability? It's asking someone who's walked the journey of God a little bit more with you and saying, this is what I think God said. What do you think? Someone who loves Jesus. Someone who loves you. Someone who's prepared to say, no, I don't think that's what he said. Or, yeah, I think that's what he said. So you have some accountability. So we do that. And, you know, as we do that, our conversation with God develops. The conversation matures. The conversation deepens the longer you talk to him. And the longer you stop to listen to him, the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. As we stop and create space and speak to God, allow for things to come back, allow for the scripture to speak to you, allow for impressions to speak to you, allow for circumstances to speak to you, even more so allow for his still, quiet voice to speak back to you. And it matures. The longer you are in relationship with someone, your conversation deepens. If you are in a married situation today, you might remember the first couple of conversations you had with that person when you were nervous and you weren't sure what to say. You said, oh, hello. It's a bit like that with God. Now you don't get worried about talking. You just speak deeply about the things that are troubling you, the things that are concerning you, the things that you find beautiful. And you speak in a lovely maturity about that, and you begin to hear the voice of God. You start to recognize the voice of God more. The more I speak to my wife, the more I recognize her voice. The more you hear someone's voice, the more you recognize it. Who's ever been in a situation where you go into a room and you go, I think I recognize that voice? I was playing golf down at Marie Park many years ago, and I was putting out on a hole, and at that time I was listening to a lot of ABC radio, and I thought to myself, that voice sounds familiar. It was coming from two holes over. Liam Bartlett. I've been listening to him on the radio for the last for the whole year. Hear his voice. It starts to become recognized. And the more you listen to it, the more you can tune into it. Who remembers, again, young people, I really apologize for this illustration because it's going to blow you out of the water. But there used to be a day when you used to tune a radio. And you would just, the closer you got to the right, because it would go from fuzzy and then clarity. The more you listen to the voice of God. And the more you think it's the voice of God, and then you trial it and you think, oh, no, that wasn't, I mixed up. You get, oh, correct, the tune, correct. And we get the tune of God in our hearts. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you. And more often than not, it comes in his quiet, still voice. But God wants to commune with you. And that's how he goes about it. So I want to look then at about how do we apply God's voice to some situations that might come up in our life. And I'm going to borrow a fair bit from Peter Briscoe as we do that. But if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Romans is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And it says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's good that God has a will for you. It's pleasing. It's perfect. It's good news, huh? And so we often ask questions. We often stop and we, as believers, and we say, should I go to this university or should I go to that university? God, I don't know. Should we shift our family and take them to another place to live because they've got a great job opportunity over there? Should we uproot and shift over here, God? What should we do? Should I marry this person, God, or should I not? I don't know. I like him. What do you reckon? They're questions that are very normal to ask in life. And the good news is that God wants to speak into some of these questions. Now, as Pete Briscoe says that his dad taught him, sometimes when we're thinking about the voice of God and following his plan for our life and the will, sometimes we picture that to be like a tightrope. And so if you could picture a tightrope, two poles or a cliff and a small thin rope going across, and the will of God is like that tightrope, and as you walk along, you hope you get it right, because if you get it right, you stay on the rope, but if you get it wrong, you fall off the rope and it's a long cavernous pit and you can't really get yourself back. And if you miss it, holy dooly, you're done. Sometimes we think about the will of God and the voice of God like that. I've got to get it. My experience of that is that will lead you to paralysis by analysis, which means you don't end up doing anything because you're so worried that you are going to fail, or you're going to miss the voice of God, or you're going to get it wrong. You know, God didn't come that you might be full of fear and that you might be worried and that you think you're going to stuff up your whole life. God did not come for that. No, he came that you might have life and have it to the full, it says. And so a better way of understanding the will of God and hearing his voice is seeing it as a playing field or seeing it as a paddock. And you are in the paddock and you are in the playing field, and God's will is in that space. And that might be a freeing word for someone here today, that you can have some freedom understanding that God is a God of grace, and this journey of hearing his voice is not a mark out of 10, but it's a journey of relationship. And so you can see it as a playing field. So if you like basketball here, think of it as a basketball court. If you like horses, think of it as a paddock. If you like soccer, think of it as a soccer field. And any other sport that you can think of that has a field that you play on. And it says here in the scripture, in verse chapter 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. Therefore, in view of God's mercy. Therefore means what's come before. What's come before chapter 12, people? Chapters 1 to 11. I know, this is massive. What does Romans 1 to 11 say? Romans 1 to 11 says that we're caught in our sin. I'm going to paraphrase it. We're caught in our sin. God, through his love for us, sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die that we might have life and that we might live in the grace and the mercy that comes from that. And he didn't just leave us in that space. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell amongst us that we, again, might live that life because of his great mercy. Therefore, because of all of that, we're going to read the next two verses, which we read before, that God has a plan for you and he wants to speak to you about that. You know, God gave us the Spirit that made us alive to him. The question that comes out of that first section as we're thinking about hearing the voice of God is this: do I trust him wholeheartedly with my life? Do I trust that this God that I've just read about in verse 11, that he has my life, that he has it under control, that I can trust him? Am I prepared to do that? Am I prepared to make him my Lord and my Savior? Or is he just a sometimes, maybe, if it's all right, sort of God? Because if you're going to trust him as your Lord and the Savior, then the next couple of verses can apply to you. Then you are in the playing field. You are in the paddock if you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says that the Spirit of God comes into you, Acts chapter 2 says, and it dwells in you. And so therefore, this commune between you and God is actually between your spirits. He wants to talk to you. Do I trust him wholeheartedly with my life and the direction? He is not an information box. He wants to have relationship with us. So you know what an information box is? When you're lost at Karen Up Shopping Centre, can happen a lot these days. You go to the information box and you say, where is this? I don't care. Oh, is she here? I don't care about that lady is what I was going to say, but she might be sitting here, and if you do, I love you. I just want her to tell me where to go. She's going to tell me where to go after that last comment. But God isn't just an information box. He wants to have a relationship with you. He has your life. Do you trust that he is your? Have you made him your Lord and your Savior? It goes on to then, therefore, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You know, the people reading this scripture knew what a living sacrifice was because they sacrificed all the time before that. And so they knew what it was to put something on an altar and to kill it and to have it bleed and to offer that as a sacrifice. It's very vivid imagery for the people reading this. Us today, we say, oh, I think I saw that in a movie somewhere. It's vivid imagery. Offering your sacrifice to him is about giving your life to him. Am I coming to God for an answer with everything that I have? Am I prepared to die to myself? Am I prepared to submit, come in submission to his ways? Submission means under, mission means his mission, under his mission. Am I prepared to bring my life under his mission? That's the question. Because if you're seeking God's will and God's answers and hearing his voice and you're not prepared to come under his mission, then you're really not on the right track. You need to come in a space where it says, God, I'm prepared for you to say no. I'm prepared for you to say yes. See, we all have biases, as I said earlier, and am I willing to be honest about my bias so that I might hear his voice, which may be a no. Now, what is honest about my bias? Let's see this university one. If I go to God, I just don't know where to go. I've been offered these two great universities. Should I go to UWA? Should I go to Curtin? I'm coming to you. But really, I actually really want to be at UWA because I think it's much better and I think the buildings are nice and the limestones are, you know, it's good. And so I'm seeking God to verify, to rubber stamp what I've already decided in my heart. That's a bias. We do biases in the way we make business decisions. It's okay. We all have biases. It's not a bad thing. Let's just be honest about it. I'm coming to this decision. I'm trying to be open, God. But you know there's a little bit of me that really wants this. But I am opening myself up to you. I'm coming in submission to you. Do you honestly want his answer? So are you trusting wholeheartedly with his life? Do you honestly want his answer? Then it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. You need to understand, as someone who believes in God, that God's desire for you is for your betterment. God's desire is the best for you. The best for you isn't always the best of what the world thinks is for you. The best is what he knows will actually give you life and vitality. Do not conform to the patterns of your world. God's will is for your betterment. He loves you like a good parent, and he desires the best for you. He desires that you live towards him. That's God's desire. His number one call on your life is that you live as a child of him. That's his number one call. He wants to transform you from the inside out. Transformed means your outward behavior starts to match your inward savior, Peter Briscoe would say. Your outward behavior starts to match your inward savior. So the question you ask yourself there is, what I'm seeking out of bounds? Or is it inbounds? Remember I said it's kind of like a paddock, it's kind of like a playing field. Is what I'm seeking God for out of bounds, or is it inbounds? Is out of bounds, does it contradict what the Bible already tells me? Does it contradict what the Bible already tells me? Does it contradict what he's already saying in that space? Is it out of bounds, or if it's inbounds? If it's out of bounds, guess what? I can guarantee you that God's already spoken about it. You're not going to twist his arm by thinking, God, I've come to you wholeheartedly and I want to hear your answer, but I just want to know if it's okay that if I run off with that other man's wife. No, it's out of bounds. And if you're interested in what God would want to say about marriage, if you're interested in what God would want to say about your business, read the word. If it's out of bounds, or is it inbounds? If it's out of bounds, you can stop straight away. And then it goes on in verse 4, and I'm running out of time. It says this. It's number 4 for me. It's number 2, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to go and test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's desire is that you grow more to be like his. His number one call, as I said before, is that you are a child of his, and you're the child of the God Most High. Will this help me grow to be closer to him? That's the question you're asking. Will this decision, will the hearing his voice, will it help me grow closer to him? When you're making that decision about your business and shifting your business to another location and shifting family, you're also asking, is this going to help my family grow closer to him? When you're thinking about buying houses, is this going to help us grow closer to him, or is it just following the pattern of the world? Is this going to help me grow closer to him? When you're looking at someone, am I going to marry that person? Ask yourself this question. by marrying that person, will I be walking closer to God in 4 years' time, or I'll be working further away from God in 4 years' time? It's a good question to ask. And then once you've done that, wait for the quiet yes or the quiet no. Be still, the scripture says, and know that I am God. This is listening to the Holy Spirit about direction in your life. And that still no or the still yes will come with wait, confidence, content. And then you know what? If you need clarity, ask again. It's okay to go, God, I'm not quite getting that. I'm asking you again. Should I go to that uni or not uni? Should I change my work? Ask him again. If you have confusion, it's okay to ask again. If two of you, if your husband and wife here today and you are praying to God and saying, God, we're seeking your voice, and you both come back and you have opposite answers, it's okay to go, okay, let's go back to him and ask. And that's not the time to go, let's go back to him and ask, and I'll do my best to manipulate you to get around to my answer, and that'll be awesome. Because we can all do that. That's not skillful. It's okay if you need clarity, you need confusion. And remember, God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. The voice of God is on a playing field, not a tightrope. If you follow that and you still step out in the incorrect place, guess what? God is a God of grace and mercy. And unlike the tightrope where you fall down a big cavern and you're never coming back, God says the ball's coming back. Let's keep going. See, if God's got a purpose and a will for your life, guess what? He desires it as much as you do. He's not a God of tut-tut. He's a God of grace and a God of mercy. He wants to have a relationship and communion with you. That's why he speaks to us. And, you know, God isn't interested in trying to put that in, you know, in obscure places. He actually wants you to know what he's saying. Sometimes I think we think that he's putting it in ways that, you know, like I speak English, but he's writing it in Dutch just to confuse me and have a laugh at me. No. He actually wants me to know what he's saying. That's the God of the Bible. He actually wants to have a relationship with you. So today, guys, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. If you leave nothing else from this, understand the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He does speak to you. The scripture would say that. You can hear his voice. You can apply it to practical issues. You can apply it to the things like university, marriage, business, housing. You can apply the voice of God to every area of your life. But don't ever stop just asking him, God, what do you want to say to me about this beautiful environment? What do you want to speak into my life? We could speak about the voice of God for a lot. If you want to know more about it, I want to encourage you to read some books by Ruth Haley Barton, to get onto Right Now Media and listen to some messages by Pete Briscoe, Dallas Willard. They all talk about hearing the voice of God coming from slightly different perspectives, but all landing in the same place, which is the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, and you have the ability to listen to him and respond to him. It's a good God, eh? Whew. Didn't just leave us. He wants to dwell amongst us. You know, next week, we're going to talk about how that affects the way we interact with each other. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about how that interacts with the stuff, that the things that we own and do and stuff. It's going to be good. Let me pray for you. Why don't we stand? Lord, I thank you that you are a God of communion, that you're a God of relationship, that you're a God who didn't just make a way for us that then we're left alone, but you made a way for us to be with you. Then you sent your Spirit to commune amongst us. I thank you for that, Lord. Father, just right here in this moment now, your scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Father, as people have been thinking about decisions that they've been waiting on, would you be gracious enough, Lord, to give a still yes or a still no? Just feel as we're just an impression. We've been talking about hearing from the Spirit. This is just an impression from God that there's people here today and you're just not confident about what God said. Let me tell you that when God speaks it in the still, quiet voice, he's going to come with confidence. My prayer is that you would step in that confidence. Lord, we thank you that you want to speak to us today. May we always be people who want to listen and want to be obedient to that word, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.